I'd like to begin today by telling you a short story, if I may. Now, you should know before I start to tell the story that I made it up. I was doing something rather boring this week at work, so I made up this story, and after I finish telling you the story, I'm going to tell you why I wanted to tell this to you today. It's a little bit ridiculous at first. Actually, the whole story, in some sense, may seem a little bit ridiculous. But as I tell this story, I want you to imagine that this story is about you, even though it's not. So imagine that you're on a boat. It's a small yacht, say. You don't own the boat, but you're very familiar with it. And this particular day, as you were working below the deck, you happen to notice a small leak in the boat. Now, you've seen water in the boat before, so it really doesn't register that there might be a problem. It's rather normal. So you ignore it and you go back about your business. And a short time later, you look at the water again and you think it might be getting deeper. But you're not sure. So again, you ignore it and you go back to work. A little later, you realize that it is getting deeper. A lot deeper. So you begin to bail it out. You still don't think it's a real big problem, though, so you don't bother to call it to the attention of the captain, who's on the upper deck. And as you're bailing away, you soon realize that the level of water is not going down. In fact, it's getting deeper, and it's getting deeper very fast. Soon, the cabin is flooding, and you're frantically trying to bail it out, and you're certain that this captain has to see or hear all the commotion down below. And now you're working so hard to keep up with the water that you don't even have time to stop to go and tell him. Finally, just before the boat sinks, the captain appears from the deck, and he's looking at you expressionless. Finally, you say, "What are you doing? Can you not see that we're sinking?" He replies, "I built this boat. And I did so in a way that makes it impossible for this boat to sink. Why didn't you just ask me for help? I was right there." See, the problem is you unplugged the pump. And you didn't take time to notice. So he reaches over and he plugs the pump back in. Pumps all the water out of the boat and away you go. The story's a little bit ridiculous, I know. I told you that story so that I could tell you this story. This story is also ridiculous. But this story is true. And while the first story I told you I made up one day at work, the second story is something that actually happened to me one day at work, and I've been trying to forget it ever since. Have you ever had one of those days where absolutely everything that you touch goes wrong? I don't mean a bad hair day, like Mr. Pippi often refers to. I mean everything. Every single thing that you touch goes wrong for some reason. Well, one Friday morning in the middle of this winter, this past winter, I had a day like that. Some of you may have already heard the story, and I'm not going to repeat it, at least not all the details. I'm just going to skim over a little bit here for the sake of time. On this particular day, I was doing something that I'd done hundreds of times in an environment that I have lived in basically my entire life. But on this one particular day, standing out in the cold, in the middle of nowhere, I found myself a lot colder than I ever remember being. Colder than I ever thought possible, to be honest with you. By the time I realized what was happening, I had basically lost the ability to think clearly, to form a proper sentence, or to pronounce a word properly. All of those things had left. I felt like I'd pulled every muscle in my back. I was tired. And by the time I realized I was in trouble, it was almost too late. Finally, I managed to get to a telephone, but I sat there for what seemed like hours, it was probably a few minutes, staring at the keys on the phone, desperately trying to remember a phone number that I've dialed 10,000 times. So as this was happening, the sun was setting and the weekly Sabbath was about to begin. Eventually, I did remember the phone number and made a couple phone calls, walked back across a frozen lake, and sat down in front of a fire. As I said, these two stories are similar in a couple of ways. They both describe a desperate situation. Story number one ended quite happily. The boat was pumped out and away it went, back on its course. Story number two ended well. Here I am, just a few short weeks later, back to just having a bad hair day, as usual. I'm not telling you this story so that I can get sympathy. It's actually quite a ridiculous story, I think. A little bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. So why am I standing here today after such a close call only a few short weeks ago? The answer to that question is what I want to talk about today. Please turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, picking it up in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, and here's the part I want to talk about today, and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The reason that I'm standing here today is not because of something that I did. The reason that I almost wasn't standing here today is because of a lot of things that I did. But the fact that I'm here had absolutely nothing to do with what I did. In fact, he did it because of something that you did. You see, I found out later that after I made that phone call to my wife, she made a phone call or two. And within a few minutes, I suspect, a prayer request was sent out to many of you on my behalf, as per James chapter 5 and verse 16. So within 2 hours of making that phone call, the entire situation that I was involved in had completely turned around. I was back in my truck and driving home. But do we really get that? Do we really understand how astounding that is? Not what happened to me. That wasn't astounding, it was stupid. What I did. But it's astounding that little old you and little old me can go to the eternal God and ask him to intervene in someone's life and our own. That question or that fact has been on my mind a lot since that day. You know, there's an expression that you may have heard before. It usually gets dropped in desperate situations, and it's usually the last resort, and somebody will exclaim, well, all we can do is pray. We've done everything we can. We've been bailing the boat out for hours, and it's still going to sink. All we can do now is plug in the pump. I don't think anybody means any disrespect to God when they say that. I'm sure it's all quite innocent. But when you think about the way that sounds and the relationship that we have with God, it's a completely mixed up priority, isn't it? It shouldn't be the last thing to do. It should be the first thing that we do. Acts chapter 12. I want to look at another situation, and there's hundreds of them in the Bible, where people that God's people go to God on each other's behalf. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. So when he had apprehended him, we're picking up in the middle of a story here. It would be helpful to go back and read what leads into this sometime. It's actually an interesting story. So when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So Peter was therefore kept in prison, this is verse 5 now, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You know, I have absolutely no idea what was going through Peter's mind when he was thrown in prison, facing execution, that's why he was there. And when Herod, verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. It was a fairly bleak situation, physically speaking, I guess you could say. And like I said, I don't know what he was thinking at this time. I know what I would have been thinking, and you probably know what you would have been thinking. But what made the difference? Back in verse 5, constant prayer was being offered to God. You know, the people in the church in this particular situation, they didn't get a hacksaw. They didn't try to find a key. They didn't try to beat up the guards and free this man. They didn't have to, did they? Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garments and follow me. And he thought he was dreaming the whole time. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. What an incredible story. That was probably a very dark moment. Facing execution, chained to a wall between two guards, who would in all likelihood just try to kill you if you thought you were, or if they thought you were trying to escape. But God intervened, and he intervened because the people were praying for such an end. Did you notice that it was the first thing, not the last thing? You know, the little thing that happened to me, by comparison, is pretty insignificant, and it was completely preventable. I broke a few basic rules. I had absolutely no regard for the environment that I was in. It was so familiar to me that I had completely lost respect for it. I was prepared. It's not like I was out there in my sock feet and my shorts. I knew where I was going, but it snuck up on me. And I was doing something that I always do. There was no threat, but before I realized it, it was almost too late. And the whole day, God was probably looking down on me, trying to figure out why I wasn't talking to him about it. I was unplugged. And at the end of the day, he still bailed me out. Not because I asked him to, but because many of you did. That is a very powerful line of communication that's wide open to us. Just being able to go to God is a miracle in itself. You ever think about that? This time of year, probably think about it a lot. It's an absolute miracle. How many people on this earth today do you think go to God on a regular basis or at all? 6.8 billion people on the earth? What percentage? Think it's 100,000 people? I doubt it. If it was, then only one out of every 68,000 people are talking to God. It's probably more like 10,000. I don't know what it is. I doubt it's 100,000. If it was 10,000, then one person out of every 680,000 people on the planet are talking to God. The fact that you and I can go to God the Father at any time, for any reason, for ourselves or for others is an absolute miracle. Matthew 21. It's not just a one-sided proposition, though. Matthew chapter 21, picking it up in verse 22. And all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's not just an empty request, is it? If you have the Spirit of God, if you're obeying the commandments of God, and you're using this direct line of communication to God, made possible through Jesus Christ, then you can talk to Him about anything that you want. Isn't that amazing? It truly is amazing. You know, I'm preparing for the Passover this year. I've had that on my mind a lot, and so have you. And we should. And through the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've had to acknowledge the fact that on at least one cold day in January, I was unplugged. And I think about it every day. Maybe you know what that's like, and maybe you don't. I have no idea. But if it happens, or should I say when it happens, whether it happens to you or to someone that you know, we all know that if when you turn to James chapter 5 and verse 16, it tells us very clearly exactly what to do, and it works.